الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا مباركا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise and all thanks is to God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I bear witness that there is no God but Him, and that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is His prophet and His messenger. As you notice today, we have a lot of guests, and I thank them for coming and welcome them. We have guests from Pepperdine University, we have students from Loyola High School, and we have students from Flintridge Prep School. This latter group is here for community service. They chose the Islamic Center as the place they wanted to come to do their community service, and we thank all of you for being here, and I greet you with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum. May the peace and blessings of God be upon you. For the topic of this khutbah, I want to in fact talk about this issue of service, of public service, as a central ethic in Islam. And part of the reason is that as I survey myself, where I am, I realize that for me personally, the issue of service is one of my true weak points. And so I will be reminding myself and talking to myself and ask you to listen along with me. And I make that statement up front because I don't want anyone to think that in this khutbah I'm saying, do a lot of public service like me, be like me. No, do what I should be doing and what we all should be doing. Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, in a hadith that was reported by Al-Tabarani, said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people is the person who is of greatest service to other human beings, the person who benefits other people the most. And that is why in the Quran, when we look at Ayatul Birr, the verse that has become known as the verse of righteousness, verse 177 in Surah Al-Baqarah, the verse begins, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب. I'll stop here with the verse, but I want to stress that the verse begins, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. That righteousness is not in the mechanics of the acts of worship that you face toward the east or toward the west. Righteousness lies in true faith, and then immediately the verse goes to the expression of that faith. He who gives of his substance, of his wealth, of his money, no matter how much he may love it, to the close kin who are in need, to the orphans, to the impoverished, to the wayfarer, the person who has been dispossessed of his or her possessions, to those who ask, to ransom people from bondage or servitude. And the Quran enumerates all of those categories, making it clear that this ethic of service, of giving of ourselves and of our money, is a central ethic in Islam. It is not a by-the-way thing that, yes, I should pray, yes, I should fast, and then whatever I can, I'll give a dollar here, a dollar there. No, we see that in Ayatul Birr, it is a very beautiful reflection. Or the Prophet's hadith, rather, I should say, is a beautiful reflection when he says, "Al-imanu ma waqara fil qalbi wa saddaqahu al-amal." That faith is what resides firmly in the heart, and then is confirmed by the deed. And the confirmation by the deed, The Quran is telling us it's not in the mechanics of the acts of worship, but it's in giving of our substance to so many different categories of needy people. And that's why Surah Al-Ma'un tells us, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who gives the lie to the faith? That means they stand in form and substance against the notion of faith. When it's phrased that way in Arabic, it means that what will follow is a definition of that person, and God knows best. So who is the person who stands against the moral substance of being faithful and God conscious? What does the Quran say? Does it say the person who doesn't pray? Does it say the person who doesn't fast? No, it says, فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمُ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. It is the kind of person who is harsh to the orphan and who feels no urge to feed the needy. That is the definition of the person who stands against the faith. And when the Quran says that لا يحض على طعام المسكين, that should imply to us that he inside himself or she inside herself feels no urge to help the poor and does not encourage others. So that Islam is a religion where I myself need to feel the urge, and not only I do my part and then sit down and feel satisfied, but I encourage you and you encourage me that we need to pull together as a community and focus on our role in public service. And again, in Surah Al-Muddathir, the Quran previews a conversation between the believers and the unbelievers on the Day of Judgment. And the believers are asking, if you will, the inmates of hellfire, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What has brought you to hellfire? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. Their reply, we were not among those who were prayerful, and neither did we feed the needy. And so we see this answer is a very, very compelling answer. Because whenever I think about what could take me to perdition, to hell, I always think in terms of sins of commission. Meaning, if I do this bad thing, and this bad thing, and this bad thing, and this bad thing, and take myself so far out of the realm of God's forgiveness, those are sins of commission. I start thinking about all the bad deeds I could do. But the first two answers were sins of omission. Not bad deeds they did, but good deeds they did not do. And so, the good deeds are to be prayerful, to be a person who remembers God, and to look out for the needs of our fellow humans. And that is why the Quran, when it comes to this issue of charity, it makes it clear to us that this is not my generosity. I am not such a great guy that I take out a dollar and give it to somebody. No, in fact, I am giving that person not my charity, I am giving them their right. Because they have a right over some part of my possessions. And that's why the Quran, when it talks about the believers, in Surah Al-Ma'arij, it says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. That they who persevere in their prayers, and in whose possessions there is an acknowledged right, there's a due share, that is the right of the deprived and the needy. And so, it is not simply a by-the-way kind of thing. It is fulfilling the mandate that is central in our faith that the best expression of faith is service to others, and that that is not my charity, that is their right upon me, as much as I am able with some apportioned share, and God knows best. And when we start to look at things in that way, then the issue of service takes on, I think, a much higher priority in the rank of things that we consider giving our time to. And I ask God to guide me to that ethic and to guide all of us. Ud'u Allah. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله Let me return to the notion that service is not my charity or my generosity, but it is the right of the community at large over me and over you. Our scholars, in fact, have very interesting debates about the rights of man versus the rights of God, or our obligations to people versus our obligations to God. And some of them say that fulfilling your obligations to people should take precedence over fulfilling your obligations to God, as in, for example, prayer. Why is that? Why would they say that? Is it because people are more important than God? No, astaghfirullah, of course not. But it is because God has no need. When I pray to improve myself, to make myself a better person. I do not hurt God Almighty in the least by failing in my obligations to Him. But when I transgress on the rights of other humans, they are hurt. They are affected. It is because of God's strength and our weakness. And there are different views on the matter. I'm not endorsing that view. I just wanted you to be aware of that debate. Because when we give charity, we are not doing it for others. We are doing it really for ourselves, to purify ourselves by helping others. And that may make it more attractive, easier to embark on, whatever that may be. But it is a reorientation of how we view ourselves and our wealth. And just by saying how we view our wealth, that's the point I want to focus on. Because we feel that, hey, this is my money. I earned it. But the Quran tells us, no, reorient. Right? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ Those who believe in the existence of that which is beyond human perception, they establish their prayers and are constant in their prayers, and out of what we have given them, they spent. So it's not my money, it's the money that God has given to me, entrusted me. And then the question is, what am I going to do with that? And so the Quran tells us, أَمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ Believe in God and His Prophet and spend on others out of that which He has entrusted to you. And that reorientation is a very critical one and a very, very difficult one. We as human beings have an uncanny ability to forget that this is not our stuff, that this is a very temporary trust. And as my father always used to say, God rest his soul, spend of your money, because either it's going to leave you or you're going to leave it. and there's no third option. And I heard my brother JD, the Imam at Masjid al-Taqwa, give a very, very beautiful example that has really stuck with me, and I want to share it with you to show you how deeply this runs in us as humans. Whoever has had a small child and has dealt with little kids, you give a little kid, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, a chocolate bar, you give it to them and you say, can I have a bite? They grab it and say, no, it's mine. You're thinking, what do you mean it's yours? I just gave it to you. How can it possibly be yours? Give me a bite of the chocolate. No, it's mine. And we think, okay, that's because they're a two-year-old or a three-year-old and they can't understand any better. But it turns out that in more, I don't even want to say more subtle forms, in just more disguised forms, we stay like that. And one of my absolute favorite experiments in social psychology is an experiment where the experimenter went to a large group, divided them into two groups. They didn't see what was going to happen with the other group. With one group, they give a person a $5 bill and they say, we'll give you a chance to win another five, double or nothing. You can bet this $5 bill to win another five, or just take your $5 bill and go home. The vast majority of people take their $5 bill and go home. They're happy that they got a $5 bill. In the other group of people, they give them two $5 bills, and then they take one back. They just put two in their hand and then take one back and say, I'll give you a chance to win this one back. And if you think about it, mathematically, it's the exact same thing. But the vast majority of people in that group bet their first $5 bill to try to win the second $5 bill back. Completely different than the first group. Why? Because for just that 1 second, having that other $5 bill in their hand, they came to view it as theirs. And that the experimenter took it away from them. And now they want to get it back. And that is no different than the two-year-old with the chocolate bar. And that is the way humans are, except for a very select group. And that is the group who has reoriented themselves in accordance with the teachings of the Bible and the teachings of the Torah and the teachings of the Quran, that this stuff does not belong to us. This is a test and an enjoyment and a blessing and a trust to see what we will do with it. And whoever of us is able to overcome their own intrinsic greed, they are the ones who have won. And that is why the Quran tells us, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَاسْتَطَعْتُمْ in Surah At-Taghabun, the Surah of Gain and Loss. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَاسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَاسْمَعُوا وَأَطِيعُوا وَأَنْفِقُوا خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Remain conscious of God as best as you can and listen to Him Almighty and pay heed and spend in charity for the good of your own selves, and whoever is saved from their own greed, they truly are the winners. And that is what the ethic of service does, and that is what these good people that have come to visit us today to do public service are doing. And that is what we need to do. And when I ask myself, okay, if I understand it's so important, why am I not doing more of it? The best explanation I can come up with is anchoring. What is anchoring? Anchoring is another term in psychology, where you are pulled down or pulled up by something you've been used to. So a very easy example in the psychology of fundraising, you've all been at fundraisers where somebody stands up and says, who'll give me $10,000? Who'll give me $10,000? And we think, my gosh, this person, he should know better. Nobody's going to give him $10,000. Of course he knows better. But he knows much better. He knows that what he's doing is he's anchoring you.
And studies have shown that when he gets up and asks for $10,000, I'm not going to give $10,000. But before I was going to give $1,000, now that seems way too low to me, so I give $2,000. And he's done his job. That's anchoring. And so I am anchored by my own past history, that I haven't been very good in public service. I'm anchored by my laziness. I'm anchored by my greed. I'm anchored by so many different things. Maybe examples I've seen around me that I've paid more attention to the not so great examples than the great examples. And in our community, we have so many great examples. I don't want to start naming names because I'm sure I'll forget people. And then those people might be hurt. But from the boards of this center and the boards of the New Horizon and the MPAC and the food pantry every Saturday morning, and we have so many people that can anchor us upward. Let me leave you with one example that if you've been here with this center for a while, you're probably familiar with. Because we celebrated these people here at this center. And it is, the situation was that this lady had a child in kindergarten. She was a white Christian woman. Her daughter comes home sad and crying. Why are you sad? Because my friend is sad. Why is your friend sad? Because his father is very sick. So the woman doesn't just console her daughter, she actually investigates. Why is the man so sick? It turns out he has kidney failure and he is not doing well on dialysis, and he is in dire need of a kidney transplant. And this man is an African-American Muslim man whom she has never met. Their children just happen to be in the same kindergarten class. So she finds out this situation, and she says, hey, guess what? You need a kidney? I have two. I'll give you one. And she gave him one of her kidneys, and alhamdulillah, the transplant took. And we celebrated both of them here in this Islamic center some years ago. And of course, honoring her and being joyful for him. And if we're going to let something anchor us, let us remember that example. I say what I've said. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me and to forgive you. اللهم اجعل القرآن شفاء لصدورنا وربيع قلوبنا ومنبع